Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Beat. They say a week is a long time in football, but just 5 days ago, Arsenal beat Aston Villa to move on to 5 wins from 5 at the start of this Premier League season. Since then, a large portion of the fan base was left frustrated by a lack of deadline day transfer action, while that winning run came to an abrupt halt with a 3-1 loss at Manchester United. I'm Mark McBrien from PA Media and here to discuss those points and cast a quick eye ahead to that opening Europa League clash against FC Zurich. I'm joined by Simon Collings of the Evening Standard and goals Charles Watts. Simon, I'll come to you first. Fresh on from the game yesterday, Marcus Rashford obviously winning the game for Manchester United, but was it rash subs from Mikel Arteta that arguably cost Arsenal?
Yeah, I think it's... it's a difficult situation, really, and it was something I tried to analyse today in the paper. And I'm not. I think the subs had an impact. I think they've probably been slightly exaggerated because there was such a short time between the subs and that third goal. And I think there was an immediate impact. We're almost looking at it and watching it back on Match of the Day this morning. I think the team's almost in transition at that moment, trying to get into shape. And sort of players in different positions. And I think that's why they were so wide open. But I do think when that equaliser went in from Saka, the Arteta, the players and everyone got caught up a bit in the emotion of the game. And Arteta has been a lot more bold this season. You know, I think of that Fulham game where he took off Tierney and threw on Nketiah. And I just wonder whether there was sort of a hunger then to go for the 3 points and go for the win because of the great start, because there was a chance to get a result at Old Trafford. When in reality, I think actually just doing the same plan would have been the best solution. I think it was working really well. And Arsenal's best spell was possibly even that 15 minutes after halftime where Odegaard, you know, skewed a shot wide, Saka clipped the bar, he flashed one across the area. And maybe it needed to be a case of more of the same. And Arsenal just got a bit eager to try and win the game.
Charles, I'll come to you next. Obviously, it's the end of this run. This 5 games winning run, but that's not the end of the world, is it? They're still doing well. They still played really well yesterday, in fact, didn't they?
Yeah, it's definitely not the end of the world. I think if you'd have said to Arsenal fans to be top of the Premier League after 6 games, every single one of them would have taken it. And I think there was a lot to like about yesterday's performance. You know, going to Old Trafford is a miserable experience for Arsenal fans. It has been for a long, long time. I think the footballing gods are still getting Arsenal back for 2002. When it comes to Old Trafford. But normally they turn up there, they just don't perform. No matter how well they're playing beforehand, they go to Old Trafford and then it just, I don't know what happens to them, but they just lose themselves and they don't perform and they get rolled over very easily. I think there was an awful lot to like about that performance yesterday. So they showed really good personality. They controlled the game for large periods. They weren't scared of Man United or anything like that. They took the game to them. I thought they were a better team by quite some way for a lot of the game. But in the key areas, they just sort of let themselves down a bit. I think exactly like Simon said, I think the reaction to the equaliser was just wrong. They just did get caught up in it. You saw even when Saka celebrated, he just wanted to run straight back to the centre circle straight away. And they were just so... I just felt like they knew the game was there. And Mikel said afterwards in the press conference, he said in at the halftime team talk that if you just keep going, you can win this game. It's there for you. And I think they obviously had that in their heads and they just lost their way a little bit. And if they had, like Si said, just carried on doing what they were doing, I think they'd have gone on and won that game. But everyone got caught up in it and suddenly they were just a little bit open. They played into United's hands. And United's so good at that sort of transition football. We've seen them do it before. And it's where they're strong. To leave that amount of space twice for United to run into was criminal, really, and it cost them. Now United were ruthless. Fair play to them. They picked Arsenal off in the area they thought they could, and Eriksen was brilliant, and they just picked them off. And you know United are improving, but for Arsenal, I don't think it's the end of the world by any means. And I'd have been a lot more downbeat if they'd gone there and performed the way they usually do at Old Trafford. But the way they went there and they played the way we've seen them play so far this season, they had a real lot of personality about them. You know, I think it will be a painful defeat for them. They'll be disappointed right now, but I think, you know, when they sit down and Coney and they analyse it, there's a lot to like about that performance.
Yeah, I'd say like you touched on it there with the way United play, and we've known that arguably since Mourinho, especially under Solskjaer, that just playing on the transition like that is exactly how they want to play. It's arguably how the only way they know how to win at the moment, I'd say, with Manchester United. Simon, just picking up on something else Charlie said there was the way Arsenal didn't really react well to when they scored the equaliser. Do you think we still forget sometimes how young that team is?
Yeah, definitely. And they are an emotional team as well, I think, Arsenal. And it is in part becoming their strength, but it's also the flip side of it, is it can be a weakness as well. I think we've seen the benefit of when they get charged and everything's flowing, how they can blow teams away. And even last season, I remember that, I think it was the Villa game on a Friday night when so sort of pent up and they just sort of steamrolled them. And that happens as well. But I think Arteta's spoken about it with Martinelli about having sort of gears to his game. And I think maybe this team needs to find that a bit, where they sort of can just take the sting out of the game for a bit and, you know, control the tempo a bit more. And that's something that will come with age, definitely. I think it's a young side. And Jesus was actually someone who spoke very well about that afterwards. Obviously, he's taken on a leadership role, and as vice-captain, he sort of put his head up to speak and mentioned the point that, look, he's still the youngest team in the Premier League. No one's perfect. And if they learn from games like this, then it's absolutely fine. That's always the key thing. They're still going to make mistakes, and they're still going to be growing pains.
Saka getting a goal yesterday. That's a small little nugget that they'll be taking in charge of, won't they? He hasn't scored, I don't think, since that United game where he scored the penalty last season. So that's massive for him, isn't it?
It is massive. I take full credit for that, by the way, because I actually finally transferred him out of my fantasy team and brought Martinelli in, who, of course, blanks and goes and scores. So absolutely take full credit for that. But it is a big thing, no doubt about it. I don't think Saka's played badly this season by any means. I think by his high standards, maybe he dipped a little bit, but he was still playing pretty well. And in the past two games, he's obviously got very key assists against Fulham and Villa. But I think it was doing the world a good scoring yesterday. You know, it's been a long time from open play since he scored, way back to March 19th, I think it was, that Aston Villa game at Villa Park. So that will do him good. And Arsenal need Saka to score, there's no doubt about it. Martinelli stepped up so far this season and, you know, got three, could well have had four yesterday if VAR hadn't got involved. And they need Saka to do similar, because you can't just rely on Jesus to score all the goals. You've got to chip in. And Arsenal have been pretty good at that so far this season. But the one sort of notable absentee was Saka, last season's top scorer, obviously. So I think that would do good. But I don't think he's been bad by any means. I mean, his pass for the Martinelli non-goal yesterday was brilliant as well. And so I haven't been worried by his performances, but it was certainly good for him to see him score yesterday.
Yeah, it was post-Fulham, wasn't it, Simon, when we spoke to Saka in the mix zone? And you could see I don't think he was deflated or a lack of confidence. I think he knew, as everyone did, it was going to come eventually, didn't they? So that's good for him to get off the mark. Simon, I wanted to touch on Fabio Vieira. It felt quite strange that we haven't seen him yet. I know he had a few fitness doubts right at the start of pre-season and things, but yesterday seemed a bit of a strange place to suddenly bring him on for his debut. But he didn't flounder at all when he came on, did he?
I thought he actually quite well, in given everything that happened in that game and everything, all the talking points, it sort of got lost that it was his debut he's coming on for. But there were a couple of really nice moments that I think bode well for, well, particularly Thursday, is that I think he should definitely get a start in that game in Zurich, you think. But they're a lovely pass from Martinelli. And yeah, I just feel like he's... I think it might actually be a benefit from the way it's started so far this season, where there hasn't really been much talk about his price tag, because it still was a lot of money, that £30 million. There hasn't been an expectation on, you know, Arsenal got to get him into the team early. They need his goals. They've actually just been able to sort of, you know, allow to cook him slowly, as Arteta likes to say. But I think this run of, you know, six Europa League group games, which pretty much come back to back, will be a chance to get to see him play. And yeah, I'm excited to see what he's about. And I think supporters should be as well.
Charlie, just a last point on Sunday and the defeat at Old Trafford, and something in our WhatsApp group I know you're both quite passionate about. Talk to me about VAR, mate.
Look, I think it was a foul. I absolutely think it was a foul. And I think as soon as you saw the replay, I was sitting next to James Robson, who's our Man United correspondent for goal. And I said it's a foul. He's gonna rule that off, because you could see it when it's done in slow motion. you know, he doesn't get the ball, which, you know, I think if it had got any sort of shape, any sort of touch on the ball, I think that'd have probably been all right. It was a foul. So in that way, it's probably letter of law, the right decision. But I just think for that sort of thing, to rule out a goal for that when the referee was 5 yards away staring at it and he decides in real time that it was just two players going for the ball, I'm just not sure that's what VAR is all about and it's supposed to be about. We're coming into the re-refereeing the whole game scenario for that. We're just seeing goals, which are so hard to score, ruled out time and time again for the smallest little things, which for me, what we were told about VAR isn't what it was about. I mean, look at the Brighton goal yesterday, McAllister's goal. Who wants to see that ruled out, a goal like that ruled out for an offside? Someone's foot is 2 inches offside and he didn't even touch the ball. Yes, maybe he was interfering a bit, but the guy still got his head to it and cleared it. And then you're getting a 25-yard screamer into the top corner ruled out after 4.5 minutes. And I just think both of those, on top of the weekend that we'd already had on Saturday, which was just laughably bad, how a professional official can watch that game from a video studio, the West Ham and Chelsea game, and decide that that's a foul on Mendy and tell the referee he needs to go and have a look at it, and then how the actual referee can be so weak to walk over to that screen, see it, and actually agree that it should have been ruled out. I mean, it's pathetic. There's another word I can think of for it. And it's just a horrible experience. I mean, that Brighton goal yesterday, 4.5 minutes that took to rule out. What is that like for the people sitting in the stands who paid all that money to go and watch it? So, yeah. I mean, the decision for Arsenal, I think it was probably right by the letter of the law. I don't think he didn't get the ball, so you'd say it's a foul. But I just think if we're seeing goals ruled out for that, which at the time the referee saw in real time in a match scenario and doesn't give, I'm just not sure that's what the whole thing's for. So, yeah, maybe I'm speaking, I've got my Arsenal hat. And I'm sure if that had happened the other way and it had been United who scored and it was Eriksen who fouled Odegaard, all Arsenal fans around the world would have been saying that's a foul, that's a perfectly good decision. So I think, you kind of look at it with whatever hat you got on at the point. But I just think VAR as a whole, they've got to look at ruling all these goals out for the most minute things that take 15 super slow-mo angles for it to be decided on.
Simon, we'll let Charles' blood come off the boil. I'll ask you quickly. We'll just cover the transfers. I know it was last week and nothing happened, but did it catch you out a little bit that there was such a negative response to what was actually, I think, quite a good window for Arsenal?
I thought it was a really good window, and I had to do it like a. I think Sam at the Telegraph had to do a similar thing where I sort of rate Arsenal's window, and I gave them a B in the end because I thought the incomings were good. I just thought the selling was pretty poor, which has been the case in the past few seasons. But the additions they made and the list of their targets, Jesus, we all know, was the number one target. They got him in early. Zinchenko was who they wanted. They got him in pretty early. And actually, it was in the press conference on Friday with Arteta that Sam, friend of the pod, made the point in the embargo briefing to Arteta that, if Arsenal had done nothing and then signed Zinchenko and Jesus on deadline day, suddenly everyone would be saying Arsenal had a great window. Yes, they would have clearly liked to have got a midfielder in, but I think when you're getting to the point of needing to spend more than £25 million on a player you can get for free in 9 months, I just don't really think Arsenal need to be doing business like that. And if we've seen anything from history, it's that spending more money on players you're not 100% right about isn't correct. And Arsenal now have a policy where if they can't get who they want, they'll just keep their powder dry. And I think that's a better stance to have than simply panicking and throwing money at players.
Charles, do you think one of the issues for some of the supporters was the fact that we know that Partey's injured, we know Nene's injured, we saw Smith Rowe yesterday? I think that suddenly just came at a bad time for Arsenal and Edu and Arteta, didn't it, those few injuries?
Yeah, it came at a very bad time. I think that's definitely contributed to the sort of feeling on social media anyway when it comes to the squad. And I think Si's right. I think on the whole, the window's been good. But obviously, it would have been nice to get midfielder just to cover for Partey and Elneny. But, we keep being told that Partey isn't actually that far away. And obviously, Elneny's is a bad one. But do you really put down more than £25 million on a player who 2 weeks before you wouldn't even have been considering signing? And I just don't think you can you? I think they tried to get it done. And I think £25 million is a very good offer for Douglas Luiz with 9 months left on his contract, who let's face it, when Partey's fit, isn't going to be a starter. So I'm not surprised Arsenal didn't go any further than that. And when you consider a week before that, had the injuries to Elneny and Partey not happened, we'd have been probably talking about a deadline day where they were trying to bring in a winger rather than a midfielder. Again, that just says to me then they were right to stop where they did when it came to Luiz, because he obviously wasn't a massive priority. So it would be nice. Everyone wants, I think every single football fan, every single manager around the country would have said at the end of the window, oh, it'd be nice to have one more player. It's just what you always want, isn't it? But, you know, sometimes it's just impossible. But on the whole, I think they've had a very good window. And if Partey does come back, then I still think that squad's looking very strong.
Let's look a little bit ahead. FC Zurich this week, the games in St Gallen. Obviously, Granit Xhaka, the massive Ed Sheeran fan that he is. given how they've started, given their ambitions in the league this year, how important is this competition to Mikel and to the club as a whole, do you think?
I think it is. It's pretty important in a number of ways. I think for that squad, I mean, we've been talking about the window, but there is a genuine depth in the squad now. And I think that is also partly why Arteta's a bit more bold with his substitution and tweaks, because he looks to the bench and he sees he can change things. But there's a lot of players there. I mean, it's unfortunate Smith Rowe looks like he injured himself in the warm down, but who need minutes. You know, we're talking about Vieira, he's barely had a kick. You know, Tierney's not starting. Tomiyasu's not getting games. And Nketiah, how many times have the three of us been at matches at the weekend and said, oh, yeah, he looks like he deserves a start. So I think it is important for that, for him to get these players some minutes and keep them happy. But also on how competitive this Premier League is, this really is a viable option for Arsenal to get back into the Champions League. And even in that season where they made the semi-finals and their old friend Unai stopped them getting all the way, that I don't think was a great Arsenal team, really. And they came pretty close to making the final. And even the team in 2019 under Unai, you can argue, wasn't a great team. And I think the squad they've got here should be one of the best two or three teams in the competition. They should view it as a way to try and get back in the Champions League. So, yeah, it is important for the here and the now. I think it is important. And when I look at the squad building they've done, I actually think having the, you know, obviously you want to play in the Champions League, but having Europa League games where you can rotate a bit more heavily might actually help a bit in the short term.
Just on that rotation, Charlie, I think it's fair to say, in League Cups especially, we've always been a bit surprised by how strong Arteta's named his team. We always predict these lineups and get them quite wrong because he doesn't rotate as much. But I think a lot of that might be down to the lack of squad depth. Now he's almost, if you took the injuries out of it and he had a full squad, which I know is an easy thing to say, he could almost make 11 changes on Thursday, for example, and with no disrespect to Zurich, still expect to get a comfortable win, couldn't he? You think Turner will probably make his debut as well, for example. There are so many others that will come in.
Yeah, I think he has got a squad that's capable of really rotating now. I agree with you. I think the amount of times we've gone to matches expecting to see wholesale changes for Arteta and being pretty stunned at just how strong he's gone, I'm not sure that's going to be the case this time because of some of those players that Si's just mentioned. I mean, Eddie has to start. Surely you've got to start Nketiah. Vieira has to start getting minutes. Smith Rowe is a real blow that's happened. You do wonder who else he's got now. That might, I mean, he's going to have to play Martinelli, which is a shame. I'm not sure what else you do there, but the Tierney, Tomiyasu, Holding, all those players have got to start, have got to get minutes. So I expect all those guys to come in. Like you said, Turner will definitely start, which will be interesting judging by what we saw in pre-season. But I'm looking forward to it. Europa League, it kind of feels like Arsenal got unfinished business in this competition. They've been so close on so many times now, two semi-finals and the final. And it feels like if they're ever going to do something, and it's going to be this season because of the squad they've got and the way they're playing. And I think they'll really, really go for it. And it's a great opportunity to get a trophy and to get in the Champions League. So I'm really looking forward to it this year. And I think they're going to have a really good crack of it.
We've rattled through that nice and quickly, which means there is time for Charles Watts' favourite game. We're going to have a quick round of Guess the Game. I don't know how much you love it, Charles.
What was it the other day? Joel Bloody Campbell. Honestly, I was in the gym listening to that and I was, it's so easy. I mean, I absolutely knew it. It was so easy. And I couldn't get it. I didn't get it at all. Even when you got to the very end, I still hadn't got it.
I admitted then, that's the hardest one of it, because I'd written the clues out. And then when I knew it was clear they weren't going to get it, I was just on Joel Campbell's Wikipedia page, furiously looking for some stats.
I couldn't believe I didn't get it at the end. I know he played for Betis. I know he went out on loan all those times before he came. I know he's played hundreds of games for Costa Rica, and I still couldn't get it. I'm so bad at this game, honestly.
Oh, that builds you up nicely for this one. Just a reminder for any new listeners, I'll read out a stack of clues relating to a former Arsenal player, and it's up to Simon and Charles to jump in with some guesses. They'll score 10 points if they get it right, their first guess, 9 points for their second guess, and so on. We'll update the leaderboard in a couple of weeks once we've done a few more rounds. But until then, let's play Guess the Gooner. I made my Arsenal debut in a League Cup tie against West Brom in 2006, replacing Emmanuel Adebayor.
Thomas Eichel, is that his name?
Incorrect. But well, I like that you're just going to chuck as much shit at
it. Rings. Sensational.
He scored at West Brom. Is that Eichel? Is that your right name? Or am I getting out of
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Scored at West Brom.
I went on to make two loan moves away from the Emirates Stadium before moving permanently to another English club in 2011.
Sebastian Larsson.
Incorrect. In that five-year spell, I made 32 appearances for Arsenal, 13 of which came in the Premier League.
Nicholas Bentner.
Incorrect. I picked up 5 senior international caps, but for a different nation than I represented at youth level.
What year did he make his debut? 2006, was this?
Correct. My one major honour in football came in winning the Championship playoff final in 2014.
For God's sake. Jay Simpson.
Incorrect. I played in Dennis Bergkamp's testimonial match, the first official game at the Emirates Stadium.
Oh, you're probably there, Watsy.
I was there, yeah. Justin Hoyt.
Incorrect.
Oh, for God's sake. I'm trying to think who won the playoffs in 2014. Who came up to the Prem that year?
Oh, God,
I think I know the club that came up that year.
My last appearance in England came in the Championship with Cardiff City.
Is it Jay Bothroyd?
Incorrect.
Oh, I thought you had it then.
I made 65 appearances in the Premier League for Queen's Park Rangers.
I did think QPR won the playoffs in 2014, didn't they? I'm sure.
Oh, how the hell am I not getting this? Seriously. How am I not getting this?
2014, Arsenal player. 65 Premier League is a decent whack as well.
I also played in the second tier for Nottingham Forest.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Henry Lansbury.
Oh, there you go.
No.
Oh God, he did play for Forest, I'm pretty sure.
He did, yeah, definitely did. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
My two loan moves away from Arsenal were to Portsmouth and Juventus.
Wow, Juventus.
Oh my God. Oh no, I know this.
Yeah.
Random Juventus loan move. Oh God, I'm going to throw my computer across the room.
I'm just waiting. If I listen... No, I can't quite hear Sandine shouting at me.
How random are those two loan moves? Portsmouth and Juve.
I went to the 2012 Africa Cup of Nations, but failed to make an appearance for Senegal.
I mean, I, beyond you doing a rhyme of his name, I'm not sure how many more clues you can give us here.
I know. Are you on Wikipedia now going through?
I've just logged into Wikipedia now because, yeah.
I mean,
they play for Senegal. How am I not getting this? This is so ridiculous.
I'm absolutely stunned. I've got no one. I'm more surprised how I don't know somebody who played like basically two seasons for QPR on the Prem.
Do you want to know how many seasons he played? 3 full seasons for QPR in the Premier League. Let me have a look. What else can I chuck your way? or do I just say that it's a 0-0 draw here? Let's keep going.
No, let's keep going.
I scored zero goals for Arsenal and only scored 4 goals in 202 appearances in my entire career before retiring in 2020.
It's
gonna go, and I can't believe we can't get it. I can't get it. This is so embarrassing.
Let's have a look here. Oh, here we go. I played in the League Cup final against Chelsea, which Arsenal lost 2-1.
I mean, this is ridiculous. Who the hell played in that final?
I joined the Arsenal Academy from Monaco in 2005.
I'm not going to get it. No, I don't think it matters how many clues you get.
Keep going. Oh, it's harder, easier said than done to keep going. Let's have a look. My father was a close friend of Arsene Wenger.
What position was he?
Fullback.
How am I not getting that?
Seriously. Oh, stop.
Yes.
Armand Traore.
That's so bad. Armand Traore, of course he played for QPR. He set up blooming against Man City, didn't he?
Oh, there we go.
Five-in header. Oh, my God. I hate that game. It literally makes my head explode.
Right, that was glorious. I think we've went on for that long that Charles is about to leave his kids standing at the school gate. So, thank you.
Honestly, I think you've got to edit that out. That can't go out, Mark.
Thank you to Simon and Charles for joining me. We will be back on Friday with a quick look back on Zurich, a nod ahead towards Everton, and also a quick WSL preview to boot. Thanks for joining, everyone. And do remember to bully them both about Armand Traore. Stay safe.